Welcome to EC Convos, where I have conversations with people about cool stuff. My name is Eric, and I am your host and overall cool cat. I thank you for listening, and I do appreciate you checking it out. Don't forget, please subscribe and like this episode as well as other episodes coming up from EC Convos, as you doing that will allow us to be visible to a lot more people and allowing these conversations to be shown and broadcast over a wide net. So please don't forget to like and subscribe, whether you're on Apple, Spotify, or even YouTube or any other podcast platform that you choose. Just like and subscribe, y'all. Thank you. And leave a comment as well. Now, a few weeks ago, I was watching something on TV and I had a thought that crossed my mind. There are a hell of a lot of people in the world, and I am of the belief that every single one of them has a story to tell. And it got me to thinking a little bit more. How many of those people actually have a platform or an outlet to tell their story? Now, I would venture to say the vast majority would, but I wanted to help with that in some capacity. So I decided to conduct an open call to anyone interested in just wanting to chat. I figured it was a way for me to do something different for 2026. So I posted something on a Facebook group and I ended up getting quite a few responses. Believe it or not, there are some folks out here willing to just have a conversation. Now, everyone is welcome, whether you were a nuclear physicist or a garbage collector. There will be no themes or topics at all with EC Convos, just chatting like people who are catching up. The only thing is I had three questions that I wanted to ask. One, what do you do? Two, what do you love to do? And three, what grinds your gears? That's it. That's all. So if the conversation only lasted 10 minutes or even an hour, I'm grateful just to be able to learn something new about someone new, because that's really what it's about. Expanding yourself to people and meeting someone cool you normally wouldn't even cross a path with. Like, for instance, our next guest, Matt Melvin. He's the author of the book Bullied Behind Bars, A Gay Christian Trump Supporter Goes to Prison. Now, it's a very personal book. I read it, and it chronicles his upbringing, his time in prison, and the challenges he's had to overcome once he's been released. I will tell you, after reading it, there's a lot wrong with our justice system. But that's another story for another day. What I will also say is this conversation proves a very valuable point. If you choose to openly and willingly have dialogue with someone without judgment, you may end up learning a few things or two about them. Man, this was a good conversation, y'all. Now, I will say listener discretion is advised, as this episode does contain discussions of sexual assault. But nonetheless, sit back and enjoy my talk with Matt Melvin. And we are here. Thank you so much, Matt, for reaching out to me and also for joining EC Convos. This is a very different type of podcast because I typically do just normal podcasts about normal motivational stuff and whatever. But for the year 2026, I decided to focus more on the people and focus more on what other people are doing to either get themselves going, to keep themselves going, and to tell their story. And so I am honored to be on stage with you right now, Matt. I thank you very much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be.
So I will be completely transparent with you. I read your bio and I had to stop. And the reason why I had to stop, because it got good. I was like, oh no, I don't want to read all of it. I only read the first couple of paragraphs of it. And I was like, okay, let me stop right here because I already know it's going to be good. And I wanted to be just as intrigued about your story than, you know, as well as with the audience. So tell the people, who are you?
My name is Matt Melvin. I'm the author of the book Bullied Behind Bars, A Gay Christian Trump Supporter Goes to Prison.
Awesome. And I actually downloaded the book too. I downloaded it on my Kindle. So I am going to read that book tonight because your story fascinates me. And I wanted to know more about what happened, you know, why the name Bully Behind Bars, you know, just your story, you know. So tell me, what do you, you know, what, tell me your story.
I grew up in Tickboro, Massachusetts. I had a best friend that lived behind me and the school bully that lived next to me. Oh, wow. So it was really a dichotomy of something good and something evil. Massachusetts was very different than Vermont is in that there's a lot more to do. It's easier to meet people. Unfortunately, my parents in 1988 made the decision to move up into Vermont, which was the worst decision they could have made. Vermont is very isolating. It's hard to make friends. And nothing's changed in the 35 years that I've lived here.
Wow. Wow. Really? So when you say nothing has changed, because a lot of people, I don't really know a lot about Vermont. I mean, the only thing I know about Vermont is Ben and Jerry's. So when you say isolated, do you mean isolated in the sense of like once you're in Vermont, that's basically where you are and there's no major cities or no other major cities surrounding you or no other major states surrounding you?
New York is an hour and a half from me and New Hampshire is an hour and a half.
Okay. Okay. But it definitely seemed like it was more of a, as you say, isolation. Now, is it because of the town that you were in as well?
It's a small town.
Right. Right. So, and by it being a small town, you know, sometimes a small town mentality can be overrun, and it can be overwhelming to someone, you know, who grew up in a big city like yourself and stuff like, or who, where it was previously in a bigger city. So, since you're still there now, so tell me, what do you do?
What do I do for work? Is that what you're asking?
Well, just in general, like, what do you do for work? What do you do outside of work? Whatever hobbies that you may have as well.
For hobbies, I enjoy swimming in the ocean, boating, Bible study, going to church, leading more people to Jesus. That's my number one objective. I had a near-death experience in August 2015 where I was almost killed by an out-of-control driver on 495.
Oh, wow.
And that was the moment that I chose to stop lying, be honest, and stealing, start living a more godly lifestyle because I was a lukewarm Christian. I viewed Christianity as going to the movies and punching a ticket. I would live in sin 6 days a week, go to church on Sunday and ask for forgiveness. Just like a lot of people do today.
You know, you're absolutely right about that. There are what we like to call back home. I'm from the South. I'm from Louisiana. And we often call some people sometimes part-time Christians. Right, where the only time they'll actually go to church is on Easter Sunday and Christmas Day. And but yet they always still expect, you know, things to work out and things to change for them or whatever when they're only putting their foot halfway into it. And so I do understand that. And I'm so glad that you are one of God's warriors leading people to Jesus. You know what I mean? Because we, especially now, you know, with the environment, with the climate and society the way it is now, we need more people to follow that, the word and everything. So when you mentioned earlier about you had a near-death experience and, you know, with an accident, can you go a little bit, or do you feel comfortable going a little bit into detail as to, like, what happened, like, what led up to that accident?
I wasn't in an accident. I was protected. God saved me.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So
what led to it was I was worked at a car dealership in 2004. They didn't pay me my commissions. I impulsively chose to steal one of their cars, got caught. Judge Jeffrey Crawford and Bob Wolford both decided I didn't meet the criteria to go through the mental health court. As a result, I went through the traditional court, came out with a record, couldn't pass a background check. In 2009, I used other people's information to work. The government then pursued me for 6 or 7 years, despite there being a 5-year statute of limitation. But when you're dealing with the federal government, there are no rules, and they make up the rules as they go along. I was indicted in May 2016 for money laundering, aggravated identity theft, spent another 18 months in prison, went to 10 different institutions. That's where I wrote my book.
10 different institutions. Wow. Wow. So what was the mindset of you when going, you know, from one place to the next place to the next place? Like, what was the reason for that?
They didn't know what to do. I wrote a lot of grievances to hold these people accountable for their actions. I'd been held accountable for my actions. I was raped, assaulted by a sex offender. The guards took me out of my cell when I was in solitary confinement, brought me to the attorney-client room, turned on their cameras, and asked me what my end game was in writing all these grievances.
Wow.
And my journal entries were confiscated at one of the...
So were your journal entries, well, first of all, were you ever able to get them back because they were confiscated? Were you ever able to get them back?
No, I have to recreate them.
Wow. Oh, wow. Wow. And these journal entries ended up becoming Bullied Behind Bars.
Absolutely.
Wow. I'm curious to know how many of the journal entries you had. Did you have a lot of them written and you had to go back and recreate all of them? And were you able to recreate all of them?
I was able to create all of them.
Okay.
I have a very good memory, Eric.
That is amazing. That is amazing. That is amazing. You know, I am I am more and more excited to read this book because I feel there are stories in here that will change lives. I feel it. I feel it. And what I am going to do is once I finish the book, I am going to reach out to you directly and say and give recommendations on this book. I just feel it. I feel it. I haven't even picked it up or anything. I mean, I got it. I downloaded it and everything, but I haven't read one page of it yet. But so take me back to the day of you working at the car dealership. And when you mentioned how you weren't given the proper commissions and you weren't given the proper pay and you made the decision to do this. So what was the thought? I know you mentioned that, you know, it was an ill-fated thought and things like that, but take me back to that, to your thought process, the reasons and everything.
I have autism on the Asperger's spectrum. The shadow is impulsivity. Mm. It wasn't until I started doing men's work in 2022 where I was able to see how my impulsivity was causing me problems.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And so once you realized that, you know, once you had that breakthrough in 2022 and you realized that, okay, this is the reason why I felt this way, did you feel relief because of it?
It wasn't until I started forgiving everybody who did wrong to me that I was able to love myself. That is because when we don't forgive others, they are living rent-free in our heads.
You are absolutely right about that, Matt. You are absolutely right about that. I just told a friend of mine recently, because she is kind of going through something like that, or something similar in the sense of forgiveness and not being able to forgive anybody. And she made the mention of accountability and things like that. And I told her very much the same thing, or similar to what you said. If you can't forgive, then you allow that person power over you. And as you said, they live rent-free in your head. And so I'm so glad you were able to turn it around and one, forgive, and two, realize you loved yourself more than you hated them and everything. So that brings me to my next question. What do you love to do now?
I love reading my Bible, praying, helping other men get in touch with God, start living a godly lifestyle and get out, and sharing my story. I would love to have my story turned into a movie.
Have you been optioning it? Have you been trying to discuss with people about possibly turning it into a movie?
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Breaking into the industry is pretty challenging. It is, but what I will say is your story is an amazing story and it is definitely worth telling. It is, just for the few minutes that you and I have been speaking. And so how have you been able to spread the word to the people around you? Are you doing things like events, or are you doing things, what are you doing to spread the word?
Networking, being on Facebook, social media, reaching out to people.
And those are great ways of being able to do that. Continuing to network and stuff. And obviously this podcast, albeit it's a pretty decent podcast. Our goal is to grow it significantly and to be able to tell your story as well as others. So my hope, my prayer is that this will also help other people reach out to help other people and want to, reach out to them, reach out to you and get more information about you and, buy your book and give you the opportunity to tell your story as well. So now we get to another part of the podcast where I like to ask, what grinds your gears? What is the one thing, or it can be a combination of things. What are the things that get you riled up right now?
Late people who don't show up for. Because it tells me that they think that they're more important than I am.
Would you care to tell a story about it if you want to?
I've never been late for anything. Mm-hmm. If you're 10 early, you're 15 minutes late.
I like that. I will be honest with you. That is probably one of the things that I am continuously working on right now, being on time, showing up on time for people, because you're absolutely right. It becomes somewhat disrespectful to the person that's waiting for you, if you're late, even if you're 5 minutes late or whatever, it can sometimes be, it can be seen as disrespectful. So I understand that. And I agree with that 100%. The idea
people,
of
people that lie mm-hmm. also grind me, especially when it comes to what's in the Bible.
Okay. Yeah. So when you say that, are you talking about people who
cherry pick a verse?
Okay.
Like, for example, Ezekiel 33:16, where it says, all of my sins will be forgiven. You can't just cherry pick a verse out of the Bible you have to read what before it, what's after it. You have to understand who it's written to, when it was written.
That happens often too, where people will use certain parts of the Bible, certain verses, to benefit them in the moment. That is a huge, that will grind my gears. That grinds my gears as well. I agree with that, because you can't use one part. It's disrespectful to the Bible, because you're using that one part just to fuel your intentions. You know what I mean? And for years, obviously, people have been doing that for years to try to, you know, sabotage others or to try to prevent things from happening and things like that. So, yeah, that would definitely grind my gears. That would. Let me ask you something. You mentioned earlier in the very beginning how you are a Christian, a gay Christian, and a Trump supporter. My assumption, in part,
never assume.
Yeah. Okay. So, my thought would be, there may be some backlash from that.
There is a lot of backlash.
How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the
backlash? What other people think of me is none of my business.
Okay. I like that. Okay. So. And you're right about that. I mean, it can be, it's really nobody's business, you know, whatever you choose to do. It's just that it's so fascinating how people can truly be ignorant. You know what I mean? And I'm glad it doesn't affect you or it doesn't impact you, you know, because ultimately the goal is to spread the word of Jesus, spread the gospel. That's the goal. Right. And so
if somebody had something to say to me, they my face. Only a coward sent a message via text on social media.
Yeah. Well, I believe social media is not a real place anyway. So I am 100% in agreement with you with that one. Social media. So the people that are on social media are just, you know, I don't know. It's a lot of trash on social media. And I know when you did go to prison, you know, you mentioned that in your bio, actually, when you went to prison, that it didn't really bode well with a lot of people. And so I know that was a very challenging time for you as well.
I've had a lot of challenging times in my life. But God doesn't give us anything that we can't handle.
That is true.
However, if not in our word, we're not praying, we are opening up ourselves to Satan. Remember, Satan knows that Bible inside and out. He was able to trick Eve with one word.
That is true. That is very true. People don't realize that, as you said, Satan knows the Bible too. So, oh man, it's refreshing speaking with you about you're telling your story and things, because it's just, I don't know. It just feels good to be able to know that there are people out here who really truly have stories. And your story is, as I said once before, fascinating. It really is. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just glad. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like your story will be a story that's told. And I feel once it gets into the right hands, the appropriate hands, and not, you know, just somebody who's just trying to make a quick buck, but the appropriate hands, I feel the story can be told elegantly, and it can be told, you know, just with truth and with raw honesty. I like that, Matt. I really do. So the last question I have for you is, what is the one thing you can recommend, whether it be a book, whether it be a movie, a TV show, a news article, a song, whatever. What is the one thing you recommend and why?
The song Not For Everyone by Brothers Osborne.
What was it again? Not for Everyone?
Not For Everyone.
Okay. By who again?
Brothers Osborne.
Brothers Osborne. Okay. Tell me why.
That is me to a T. I am not for everyone. But the people that come into my life, whether it's short, whether it's long, it's all because of God. Some people will come into your life for a short time. Others will come in for your lifetime. Don't dwell on the past. Look to the future. Surround yourself with positive people. Remove all negativity out of your life.
Okay. Not for everyone. I am going to look that song up and listen to it. I did have a question for you, though. How did you remove negativity from your life? Or how were you able to do that?
My family is very negative, so I can't move everybody out of my life. But if I encounter friends that are negative, I will remove them out of my life.
Okay. And you do it just simply by, well, it's not simple, but you do it by just cutting off communication, or are you explaining to them where they are or what they're doing to you, or, you know?
I would never just cut off communication without explaining my rationale.
Okay.
If somebody thinks about something one day, that's fine. But if it's a continuous cycle that they're complaining about the same thing 4 or 5 days, there's an issue.
Let me push back a little bit, because some would say, well, this is my way of getting over it by talking about it until I feel comfortable enough to be able to release it. What do you say to that?
How long are they going to be comfortable until they release it? Everybody wants, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people want to be in comfort. The key is to get out of comfort and be uncomfortable.
And attack it head on, basically.
Yes.
Okay. That's a good point. Thank you. Thank you so much, Matt, for this conversation. I truly believe this was a great conversation, and I enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Yeah, this was good. This was great. Where can everyone reach you?
My book is Bully Behind Bars, A Gay Christian Trump Supporter Goes to Prison. It's on Amazon. I'm on Instagram, Bully Behind Bars, X, Bars Bullied, Facebook, Matthew.Melvin.5621. My website, BullyBehindBars.com. You can email me, bullybehindbars@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Anything I can do, you have speaking engagements that you're interested in having me come to, or you just want to find somebody to talk to, please reach out to me.
That's great. And that's really great that you're opening yourself up to the people, because that's what Jesus would do, right? He opens himself up to the people to be able to talk and to converse about things. So great. Thank
Jesus
you.
Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. He invited Judas to break bread with him. And that is what we as Christians are called to do.
That is correct. We are. Break bread with your enemies, or break bread with people who, because your enemies can obviously turn around and be, you know, saved. They can, everyone has the ability to be saved. So
in order to be saved, you have to repent of your sins and want to turn away from your way of living. There also has to be a want.
That you have to want to do it. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned.
You have to want to change.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is probably one of the most problematic things that I deal with when it comes to people sometimes is, you know, people always say they want to change, but they don't want to put in the work to change or to make the change, or they just feel like it's too late for them to change. So what do you say to people who have that mindset?
That mindset will never serve you well. There has to be openness, to be coached, and a willingness.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Matt, for this conversation. I really, truly thank you for this.
Thank you very much.
So until the next time, folks, thank you all so much for listening to another episode of EC Convos, and we will see you on the flip side. Peace.